Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are excited to discuss the Netflix A24 series Beef, which is a hard title to it's one of those like shows like You, where it's kind of confusing of like, when I say You, I mean the Netflix show You. Like when you say Beef, it doesn't roll off the tongue. It doesn't sound like a show. It's really hard to explain.
Well, I wonder if that's part of why we thought it was a movie and not a show.
You know, We will have to, I don't understand, but literally everyone, I was just texting a friend right before we hopped on this to record who started it because she thought it was a movie. It's not just us. It's very confusing. Why did the world think that?
I don't know. Maybe the A24 threw everyone off. Like, they've done shows, but maybe it's like Netflix, A24, Beef. It all came together.
There was like a movie poster, which like TV shows have posters, but...
I don't know. I don't really know why it all came together and really felt like a movie. To quote Harry Styles.
And it wasn't.
And it actually was a show.
But anyway, first we have news, and I'm going to roll right with what we were just talking about, Harry Styles and A24, to tell you that A24 is doing an adaptation of a novel titled A Visit from the Goon Squad, which Olivia Wilde has been confirmed to direct it, and... that'll be interesting. Olivia Wilde getting into directing a TV show.
Yeah. And you know what? After all of the drama of last year, the best drama of the whole year, the Don't Worry Darling stuff, I'm glad. I don't really think that she's like a bad person at all. She should not like be canceled in her career at all. Like plenty of men get so many things. Like Mel Gibson is working constantly. Olivia Wilde is, maybe she's weird, but like, I don't think she should be punished, you know?
No. Especially like, she gave us Booksmart.
I love Booksmart.
Let women fail.
Yes.
A little. And honestly, Don't Worry Darling wasn't even that big of a fail.
No, I didn't think it was perfect, but it I thought it was kind of good. A lot of it was kind of good. Miss Flo.
The Miss Flo of it all.
Also, like, if I'm gonna choose sides, I'm team Olivia. I'm not team Jason Sudeikis, so maybe that's also where I'm really defensive of her suddenly out of nowhere. You know,
makes sense. It is funny because her post, she said mom's been busy, and I'm like, I know that you're a mom, but I don't know if you can call yourself a mom to your Instagram followers.
She is
like,
so
you're not
weird.
My mom, Olivia. I follow you for Harry Styles.
She is
content.
So after everything I just said, she is weird. She is really weird.
She is weird.
Let women be total weirdos. Maybe that's the point. let them fail and let them be bizarre weirdos. Oh, that's so funny. I hadn't seen one peep about that, so that is exciting.
Oh, good.
Did you watch the trailer for The Idol that dropped?
We're just rolling with the A24 of it all. And no, I did not. How is it?
I thought the trailer was pretty good, actually.
Okay.
I'm still a little hesitant after everything that came out and whatever. But, I mean, buzz is buzz, you know? Like, I'm intrigued. I think my favorite part of the trailer, you've probably seen, I feel like people are already memeing it. Troye Sivan was by far the best part of the whole trailer, in my opinion. He has, like, one line, and it's good. So...
well, great.
But yeah, definitely worth, the trailer is definitely worth a watch. And it's premiering on June 4th, which is pretty soon. Sooner than I thought.
Well, I saw that apparently it's 4 days after Emmy eligibility for 2023, which is interesting.
So it will not be eligible.
Will not be eligible until the next year.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't even know. Maybe it won't even be good enough.
Well, I feel like it looks like it will be entertaining. You know, that one clip, that clip that The Weeknd dropped, it was not that impressive of acting, but I don't know. It looks like it'll at least be entertaining, which is all we really want.
All we want. Also, I saw Dumois posting today that, like, they received an email that kind of, like, went back to all of the, like, allegations that went on set and kind of clarified some things.
Oh.
And it seemed like it was less bad than originally thought. I was too lazy and didn't read any of it, but that's the extent of what I saw. So for more information, go see Dumois' Instagram account. Okay, I was living for the Netflix Love is Blind live reunion drama.
Amazing.
It was incredible.
I had some major FOMO, but I was really, really enjoying the play-by-play that people were posting. Because I just started Love is Blind literally today while I was eating dinner, the first episode of the new season. So I'm very behind.
It's funny because I also was feeling FOMO, but I was like, why am I feeling FOMO about not being able to watch a thing that no one can watch?
That's so true. Well, I saw someone post, I can't remember who it was, if it was like Bethany from Best Coast or someone like a celebrity, tweeted something last night that was like, I love when we're all watching the same thing at the same time, and it was like an error screen on Netflix.
It is one of my favorite things to feel, so like, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah,
but then that quickly changed after 45 minutes because then we were all watching Succession instead.
Exactly.
So we joined the party.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into this season because I feel like people are talking about it constantly, about like really weird personalities on this season. And I also saw, I guess once they finally were able to watch the reunion, everyone was like really trashing the Lacheys, and they were like, we need new hosts. They were terrible. And I was like, oh wow. Okay. Train wreck.
I saw this TikTok. It's of these podcasters, and now I can't remember their podcast, so I feel really bad and dumb. But it's Pat Regan, I think. He was talking about how, like, Vanessa Lachey thinks that she's, like, a scientist, and because like, made this experiment, and then they were joking about how she, like, wakes up in a lab coat every day. It was really funny.
That is
hilarious.
But then
he's like, this show does not prove that love is blind, because like, you're not even seeing these people in like real life scenarios. Like, you're not seeing what they're like with their friends or how they treat waiters or like those kinds of things. And like, it's not purely what they look like that's like giving you what you need to decide if you want to be with them or not. And I was like, this is a very good point. And so got me thinking, like, could there be a way you could do Love is Blind but also still see those things? I don't know.
Like, is there a way that you could wear like goggles, like in the art that like could erase their faces
and their bodies?
But yeah, like their whole, like, it's like you
turn them into a blob.
You Eternal Sunshine this person out of your brain, but you're still like sitting across from them at a table and you can hear their voice.
Yeah.
And what they're saying.
Yeah.
That would be the true experiment.
Know.
Dr. Lachey, please get on that. Another very controversial thing that happened this week in the TV world was that HBO Max formally dropped the HBO from their name, and now they're just called Max, and everyone hates it.
No one's happy.
No one is happy. Everyone's like, okay, well, the HBO part was the good part. That's the prestige
part. The HBO
part
is what gave a show the validity of, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
So it's sad. I'm very sad and wary. And it's the same thing as like you or beef. Titling something Max doesn't make sense.
Just one word. It's like, two words is where it's at. It's like we always talk about Apple TV Plus. Three words is too many. And Max,
yes.
One word is too few.
In this
or
case.
Just HBO was fine.
True.
And also I realized as I said that Netflix and Hulu are both only one word.
But in this case, singular words that mean something.
Yeah.
But it's not like my first boyfriend's name. Which Max is.
So you're extra triggered by this change.
Yes.
Wow, that's dark.
Truly.
But yeah, kind of sad time. RIP to the HBO in HBO Max.
Let's see how this piece of news sounds using that new terminology. The Conjuring TV series in development at Max.
Horrible.
Terrible.
It's so bad.
C minus.
It sounds like an acronym. I don't think it is, though.
I don't think so either.
It sounds like you're trying to say IMAX and you forgot the I.
Yeah. Anyway,
bleak.
The Conjuring is going to be a TV series. And it's interesting that they're really leaning into the horror television.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, I saw that as well. And I was like, I'm kind of more into watching. I mean, like, I enjoy watching scary movies. I'm not going to sit and watch one like by myself for fun. You know, like I mm-hmm. would probably be way too scared. But I was like, a show though. And the Conjuring movies are very, I've only seen one and it was really good and really scary. So I'm like, mm-hmm. This show might be like, it'll be scarier than like Haunting of Hill House, for example.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. For some reason, the TV series of it all has me more intrigued than just a regular old movie.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't really had a true horror series yet. Like we had Haunting of Hill House and then like Midnight Mass, but those kind of feel like the only ones. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, very, very intrigued. They dropped the season 3 trailer for The Great on Hulu. It looked very fun. It actually looked like more of the same. I was like, oh, this kind of feels like something I already saw. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like it kind of felt a little repetitive from season 2, but yeah. I loved season 2. So anyway, I'm holding out hope. I hope that they don't kind of get stuck in a rut. I hope they mm-hmm. try new things, but Elle Fanning and Nicholas Holt are just like really, really great together too, though. So I'm definitely going to watch it. They're very fun.
Yeah. I watched that trailer and I loved the, like they're like sitting in like marriage counseling yes. together. That was cute. That was fun. Good. I really liked that.
That was definitely different. But after that, I did feel kind of like, okay, yes. It's like kind of the similar drama, but. It's a good show. So I'm
yeah, that makes excited. Sense. Something I didn't know about because I haven't really been listening to their podcast because I haven't been in a podcast mood lately. So I'm sure if I listened, I would know. But I saw that Smartless, the podcast, has a little documentary movie coming out to Max on May 23rd.
Sounds so aggressive, Max.
I feel like I have to say it like with emphasis. Max. Anyway, well, I'm fun. Excited because I'm not really in a podcast mood. I can watch them on Max.
Yeah, there you go. That's fun. That's a great idea for them to do that.
Yeah.
My last piece of news is, I mean, you might have known this. I did not watch last night's Barry season premiere, but I'm excited to. And I didn't know this, but I didn't realize that Bill Hader is directing every single episode of this final season. That
oh wow
is wild. Because I saw a headline that says, Bill Hader says he's ready for a vacation after directing every episode of Barry's final season. I mean, that is so much work and being the star.
That is a lot of work, and no wonder why it turned dark so quickly. that makes sense. I actually was wondering that because I did watch, they actually dropped 2 episodes, which I thought was interesting.
Wow, I had no clue.
Yeah, so the first 2 episodes were dropped, and yeah, both of them were directed by Bill, and so I was like, oh, I wonder if I honestly was like, I wonder if he'll just direct all of them because he got so much praise the last time. And it's like the ones that he directs are always like really well liked.
Mm-hmm.
Except I did like, there was a Hero Murai episode or here or there.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of sad. We won't have one. Maybe they'll co-direct one or something. Who knows? Yeah. I did not read the article to confirm, but.
But girls can dream.
Hey, we're busy. We gotta read quick things sometimes.
Yeah. It was fun, though, because Fuchs from Barry was in last night's episode of Succession. So watching Succession and then watching Barry was a little fun little treat.
Doubleheader. He's kind of like the HBO king flying under the radar.
You mean the Max King?
Yes. The Max King.
Sorry. I'll let it go. Actually, no, I won't probably.
Well, I actually am. I am a little confused because like there's some shows that are like Hacks, for example, is like, this is an HBO Max original that is now going to be a Max original. But what about like
other the HBO shows?
I don't know. Like I have no clue. Because I've always been intrigued, and I think like we've talked about this before. Like HBO originals are separate from HBO Max originals. But now I have no clue.
Me neither.
TBD.
Me neither. I just remembered that I saw that there was a trailer for the After Party season 2.
Oh.
And I did not watch it, but it's playing on my phone right now, and it's really fun because it's like all the characters are like little action figures like on a little cake, and it just has like their name, like the actors' names on the cake.
Cute.
And it's actually very cute. And that's dropping on July 12th.
Wow. That's... Wow, we'll be seeing Taylor Swift like 2 days after that.
I love planning things around like the one date we have to look forward to.
That's why
life
I need...
Life is pre-Taylor Swift and post-Taylor Swift. Post-Eras tour, pre-Eras
It really
tour.
Is. That's like that's like BC and AD, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Before Eras, after Eras.
B-E-T.
But
P-E-T. Interesting.
That's funny. I like it.
Here's another episode where we're recording after 8 p.m.
Can you tell?
Okay. We will do our Waystar Royco water cooler moment at the end of this episode. So now we'll get into our beef discussion. Beef, if you haven't heard, is a show on Netflix where the two main characters get into some beef from a little road rage incident, and then they become kind of obsessed with each other. And so for our top three, we thought it would be fun to come up with some enemy pairings of TV characters. I'll go first. My first enemy pairing, I said Marnie from Girls and Joan from Mad Men.
Oh, wow. Okay. Even just picking Marnie, you could do a top 50 of just Marnie enemy pairings.
She is a very small circle of people who would like her, I think, and yes. She would like, but...
And I feel like she is very... She gets hung up on petty things, and so she would totally be a contender to get in a beef like this.
Yes, 100%.
Wow. And the Joan of it all. Wow, I love it.
I would love to see them fighting and see what they would do to each other. I think it would be very entertaining.
That would get dark. Like, maybe even darker than the actual show Beef gets. They're diabolical, I feel like. Wow, I love that.
Thank you.
My number three, I said Rory Gilmore versus Emily in Paris.
Wow.
I just felt like, I feel like Rory would be threatened by Emily. Because, like, Emily kind of just, like, everything works out for her. And I think, like, if they were in, like, school together or something, like, Rory's kind of used to being that girly. But I feel like she's more mm-hmm. tightly wound than Emily. Emily's like kind of like happy-go-lucky. And I think that mm-hmm. it would just be like a bad combination.
That would be really bad. And I was actually also thinking about Emily in Paris because I was thinking about, I don't remember who I was pairing her up with in my head, but I was just thinking about how it's pretty easy to find another person for her too, because yeah, she just like everything happens to her and she's just seemingly doesn't even have to try hard.
Yes.
But also it's funny to think of Emily in Paris versus Paris from Gilmore Girls. And so it'd be funny to see like Paris defending and like being team Rory.
Mm-hmm. There would be a lot of interesting dynamics there.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
That would be fun too. My second pairing of enemies is Dave from the show Dave and Paperboy from Atlanta. Two rappers.
Rivals.
Who would absolutely hate each other. Paperboy would just think that Dave is an idiot. And I think that's funny. Dave probably wouldn't know that they were enemies and try to think that they were friends, but for sure Paperboy would be doing everything he absolutely could to never have to perform at the same venue or Coachella with him or whatever.
That is so funny. I feel like that's like Rory and Emily in Paris would be kind of one-sided. Like, I don't think Emily in Paris would care about a rivalry with Rory, but Rory would be like very angered.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is so funny. My second one, I said this one, I don't have a lot of reasoning behind it. I just see it happening. Is I said Maddie from Euphoria versus Renee Rapp on Sex Lives of College Girls. I just feel like they would clash. I just feel like they're kind of queen bees. Renee Rapp is like kind of a reformed mean girl, and Maddie is still very mean girl vibes. And I just do not think they would get along. I think maybe eventually they could kind of join forces against like a common enemy, but I think they would absolutely hate each other.
Their style could not be more different from each other either.
Yes.
Which is really funny.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, they just visually are opposites.
Oh, yeah. That is hilarious. Tall blondie that dresses like a senator versus, yes, like, tiny brunette who dresses like, I don't even, where do you even begin? A stripper? Like, a tiny
baby stripper?
That was the first
word that came to my mind.
It's very stripper chic.
Yes, it is. It's not just like something you get at Wet Seal, that's for sure.
No.
Okay, my number one pair of enemies are two aspiring actresses, Sally Reid from Barry and Portia from Search Party.
Ooh.
They would just be going after all the same roles, and I think they just couldn't like each other because there would be way too much competition between the two of them.
Oh, that is so genius. I feel like they are also both so competitive and insecure and tightly wound that they truly would, like, they would hate the qualities they saw in themselves in the other person too. Like, it would be like looking in a mirror and they like hate that person.
Exactly.
Wow. This has my wheels turning. This is a really good one.
I know.
Wow. I love it. My number one, this one is kind of along the lines of the pairing in Beef, actually, where it's kind of like a rich lady versus kind of like blue collar ish. I don't know if this character is blue collar. I don't know if she has a job really, but I said Alana on Broad City versus Miranda on Sex in the City. I can see them having some kind of altercation somewhere in the city and then like it driving each other just crazy and like trying to get revenge on and be petty against this other person until their lives fall apart.
Yeah, like I feel like I could eat them alive. Yes. And they would be like constantly thinking about it and dropping all other priorities to like get at this the other person.
Yeah,
that's so funny
because they both kind of have those tendencies anyway. Like Miranda gets total tunnel vision and like kicks her family to the curb, and Alana like her whole thing is like fixating on things that don't matter like in a lot of the episodes. So yeah, I feel like it would be disaster that I really want to watch, actually.
That's funny because I also was thinking about Alana, and so I think that she could also have a lot of different enemy pairings.
Yeah.
It's just like really, really, really strong personalities, I think.
Exactly. Like the ones that are those extremes.
Yeah. Wow. So fascinating to think about.
It really is.
All right. Beef, starring Steven Yeun and Ali Wong. I should have mentioned that earlier, but it's here now. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was very, very good. I breezed through it, and I don't really feel like there was any sloggy, slow moments in the show, actually, which is kind of impressive for 10 episodes. Even though the episodes are not long, which, you know, we loved. But I feel like the pacing was it was fast the whole time, which I really liked, especially because I was binging it. And the acting was all very amazing. I feel like after I finished it and I was thinking about it more, I kept liking it even more in my reflection of the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I also enjoyed it. I had a great time watching it. I do feel like I was feeling a little bit like it was a little overhyped to me. I think just because I was a little bit late to the game, so I had already seen so many people raving about it on the internet. But I still really enjoyed it and had a good time. And yeah, I had the same thing where it was after I finished it, it's just all these thoughts have come to my mind, and then provides really great conversation. I was talking about it with my parents this weekend, and I think that it has a lot of messages to pull from, even though it's a kind of insane, not totally based in reality kind of show, which I really liked about it. Mm-hmm. Because I think at first it kind of feels like it is kind of based in reality, and it's kind of it's one of those shows where it's you get really frustrated because someone / multiple people are making really terrible choices over and over and over again, and you just want to shake them. Mm-hmm. But it's exaggerated, which makes it even more fun, because it is the whole point of the show, actually, is that one really bad decision can snowball into a bunch of bad decisions, and then all of a sudden you're wait a second, what's my life?
Totally. Kind of thing. Yeah, it's almost like a parable or something, or a fable, it's don't do this. I love that. Something that was coming to me after I finished it too was clearly for me, the message that spoke to me in the show the most was you just don't know until you talk to someone what they're dealing with. And I really liked how that was that was an obvious message in the show, but I even saw it in more aspects of the show when I was thinking about how every single character, except maybe one or two, were in one note. No one was one note. Mm-mm. Even you kind of think some people are going to be kind of a one note character, Ali Wong's husband, for example, is just he's focus on the positive, you're being too negative, and you're okay, so he's just going to be this annoying happy guy, but he's dealing with stuff too. And his mom, Ali Wong's mother-in-law, you don't even spend that much time with her one-on-one knowing her character, but you see her being lonely too, and it's just everyone has an internal monologue going on, and everyone is sad inside. And mm-hmm. I liked that even the characters that you don't spend that much time with, you get to see that, you get to see some form of a struggle that they're going through. And so it's just really interesting how they did this in this really fast-paced show that you don't learn the backstory of every character, but you get to know something about that character that makes them more complex. And that is true in life too. And so I really liked mm-hmm. that.
Well, and that just kind of made me think about another thing I'm just now processing from the show as you were talking, was that there's so much going on that you don't even know about, and not even you won't even find those things out if you talk to them. These are even things that are happening with your best friend or your mom or your husband that you talk to every day and you still don't even know what's going on. And which also leads to situations where you can find yourself being more open and vulnerable with like strangers than you can be with the closest people to you, which is also really interesting.
That is so true. Because something I was thinking about is like, we don't really learn more depth in Ali Wong's husband until he makes this new friend, Zane, that's actually just Steven Yeun. And yeah, that is so accurate. And like, they, I just love a show that doesn't have to like spell that out for you. Like, you just realized it. I hadn't even thought of that. But that's so, it's such a true thing in life too, that they just like let the characters also discover as things are playing out, which I love.
Because like the people that you have known your whole life, like your family or like friends that you grew up with, know this version of you that it's really hard to like shake when you've like developed into like, not developed, but like evolved into a different kind of person. And so like the newer people you meet, it's easier to be who you feel in that moment and for them to see you as you are right then.
Yes.
Than like have all this baggage of other stuff. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I liked it. Wow. That's just, it's so wise.
It really is. And not by me, it's by the writers. Good job.
Well, but this is like kind of like, if this were an English class, like this is the paper you would write. And so like that is your analysis, you know?
True. That is true.
Yeah, I think that is brilliant. It's all, it's like, it's diving into like, what is the persona you're putting on for certain people kind of thing. And like, yeah. And I think that's what's so interesting, because I feel like at some points in the series, it's like, at some points I would be kind of having like a philosophical moment like that. And other times I would be like, what is this show about? Like this, they're just so angry. But like, that is the show. It's just like about like human emotions, connections and clashes. Like, and it's just so funny how like these two characters that are so similar and they hate each other so much, but like they actually are kind of the only two that can actually really understand the other one. Even the people, like even Danny's brother and Allie's husband, like those are kind of their two closest people. And yet they're like opposite each of those people, and like are hiding so much of their true, like they're hiding their worst traits from them. And it's just so fascinating. It's good. I really feel like I appreciate the show more as I'm thinking about it and talking about it.
Yep, I completely agree. Something that I'm curious if you read anything about this. I meant to research it before. Was Burger King like a sponsor or what? That was weird.
I was thinking that too.
And also, for a show titled Beef, I would think that Arby's should be the sponsor. If they had any sort of sponsor of a fast food chain, it should be the one who has the meats. my other note, I really loved, I think it's in the final episode or maybe the second to last episode, there's a scene that is very similar to the iconic rock scene from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I was thinking about that and how similar they were, and I was like, oh wow, I'm so excited. I just made this comparison. I'm so unique. And then like I hop on TV Time and literally everyone's talking about it, and I'm like, oh, okay. Glad we're all, at least we're all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. It means that you found a community of like-minded individuals. That's always fun.
Yes, exactly. But I really liked it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I feel like maybe some of the messages of that movie are also similar to some of the messages here, you know?
That's very true.
Universal experiences and whatnot.
A24.
Hey, there you go. It's A24's world. We're just living in it.
Truly. Truly, truly. Anything else? Oh, I was going to say, I saw that there is potential for a second season. How do you feel about that?
I forgot. I heard something about this too, and they were guessing it could be like an anthology, White Lotus-y style, which I would feel way better about. I really liked where the characters ended. I don't really need to know any more details about what happens next. I feel like this was such a good contained arc for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like ruin it with more kind of, but I would be interested in if there's like following new characters or something. But I, that's like unconfirmed. I feel like that was maybe like a theory someone had thrown out, but yeah, I like that theory.
I think I saw on TV time that like the director said, like they thought they had ideas for a second season, but yeah, I don't know if that was anthology minded or not.
I hope that that's the direction they would go, but
yeah, I would like that. I would like that.
Yeah. My last little thing is just a little trivia that I forgot about, but it's okay. Fun because you know that cartoon Tuca and Birdie, mm-hmm. Ali Wong and Steven Yeun are both in that, and they voice boyfriend and girlfriend in the show, and I forgot about that. So oh, isn't that so, so cute?
That a little is reunion. So cute. I love that. And I forgot that I was actually, I'm mad I didn't do this. I was going to mention something about Barry and then also tie it in with Dumas saying that maybe Barry, aka Bill Hader, and Ali Wong are dating. Which, interesting. Interesting, maybe not a fact, but maybe it's a fact. And just something to keep in mind.
I mean, Bill Hader gets like hot, cool girlies.
Yeah, he can pull.
Tall and small. It's always interesting. But yeah, I do think that would be a comedy power couple, so I guess I approve.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, liked the show, love the show. And similar to what you said about like none of the characters being one note, I also felt like none of the acting was like subpar. All of the acting was great, even if they were like a smaller character.
Mm-hmm. Even when they were someone I'd literally never heard of, which was a lot of the cast, and they were all amazing.
True. A lot of the cast. Ashley Park, though, from Emily in Paris. Love. Slade.
She was amazing.
Yeah, I loved her.
She needs to be A-list, like, yesterday.
Truly.
You know what? I'm looking at IMDb. Even the little daughter was really cute and
she
really
was
good.
She's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And sometimes I was like, is she, like, AI generated to, like, be a cute tiny girl?
That totally adds up because she was so cute and so perfect.
Literally times where she was talking and I was like, I don't know if a kid would be saying stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. And maybe, like, would that be more humane to have AI do child actors instead of real humans?
I mean, after watching the rehearsal, I think so.
Hey, yeah. Seriously. Wow.
It's funny because I feel like a lot of the shows we talked about today have characters in this show. Like, we're talking about Emily in Paris. Mm-hmm. Also, I mentioned Dave and that redheaded friend. He's a main character on Dave. He's Dave's manager.
Oh, for
manager.
Real?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do Crush of the Week. Because even though his character gave me the ick a lot, Ali Wong's husband, his name's George, played by Joseph Lee, he was so hot.
Oh my gosh, was he hot. He was really hot. He probably was, I think maybe he was technically the hottest guy on the whole show, except I actually have a different crush, but it was hard to choose because everyone, this was just like a really, really hot and sexy cast. Like,
everyone's hot. Ali Wong Slade, I keep using that word, I'm so sorry. And her, all of her wardrobe was really, really fun and cool.
Oh, she looked so cool and so cozy, but like very fashionable. It is funny because it's probably Steven Yeun's like least cute role he's ever played, which I'm sure they did on purpose because he is naturally very hot.
I literally had to keep checking to make sure that like that's who that was.
Yeah.
Because he was less hot than I am used to, but still hot.
He's still hot.
He was just like very transformed into a different character for me.
He was definitely playing against type, which is usually extremely cute. But, yeah. My crush, I'm giving it to Justin Min, who played... He was not into that much. He's the guy from Shortcomings, a Sundance movie we did not really like at all. Mm-hmm. And he was very funny as, like, this holier-than-thou annoying, like, church prayer leader guy. But I was like, he is just, like, one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen in my life. He's so hot.
Another person that looks AI generated.
Yes. His character is another one of those where he's really not in it that much. He's not that important. And you still get to see another side of him that makes you rethink judging his character as well. You know, like that mm-hmm. was another moment that mm-hmm. I thought of this weekend after I finished the show. I was like, wow, you even get to see the other sides of him and his wife, who you see even less in the show, but like you get to know their struggles that they're going through too, and how like everyone is at least a little bit miserable about something.
Yeah, truly.
But yeah, I have a major crush on him, even though that's twice now that I've seen him play characters that are like, I think intentionally unlikable, but he's just like so strikingly hot. But I did love George. George was also like very funny. And like, you're so right that he totally gave the ick. Like he was so like cheesy.
His first like scene on screen, I was yeah. like, no, don't be this guy. You're too
beautiful.
Did you
like his vases? Cause I actually thought they were cool. His sculptures.
Oh yeah. I thought they were amazing.
I was like, you guys are being rude. Theirs are awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. Oh, they were very great.
I did actually also love Paul, the younger brother.
I did too.
He might have been one of my favorite characters actually in the whole show.
He was the most real.
I just feel like it's actually harder to find a character I didn't have a crush on, to be honest. Agreed. So.
Everyone is beautiful.
If you were on the fence, you should watch the show just because there's a lot of hot people, which is always fun.
Always fun. All right. Waystar Water Cooler Debrief Episode 4. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That makes me sad because it's like we're almost halfway. No.
That is really, really sad. It is still going in sequential days.
Yes.
So the day after Logan's death.
I actually thought, considering it was literally the day before, I was like, you know, everyone's actually doing quite well. I was pretty impressed with how everyone was holding it together.
Yeah, like, I feel like we only really saw, I guess we saw, they did
at the very beginning.
Yeah, I was thinking we only saw Kendall, but really it's because Kendall looked the worst.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. It still was a little bit questionable. Like, this could be a couple days after, but it was the day after.
Yeah. Well, I was noticing, like, they had them say frequently, yesterday, yesterday. Yeah. Like, they said it, like, mm-hmm. a billion times. So I was like, okay, there's no doubt. It was literally the day before.
We get it.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find where I previously called on this podcast that Shiv was going to be pregnant. I couldn't find it quickly, but I was freaking out when that news was dropped, and I am very excited and intrigued to see where it's going to go, because I think she has some leverage mm-hmm. over Tom.
Well, and I feel like since now she's kind of been pushed, not kind of, she has been pushed aside by Kendall and Roman. It's like, mm-hmm. she only really has these options. Tom is one of her only other options. And so will maybe she go team up with him? It will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm actually also surprised that I think that no one is really making any sort of comment on the confirmation that she's pregnant online.
I agree.
It's kind of weird. Like, it's really important.
No one said anything about it. It's so important.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you're saying that, because I honestly was like,
did I hello? Dream that? Yeah, it was kind of strange.
To me, that's kind of the biggest thing. I don't even care about the succession that happened. There's a Roy grandchild.
Also, I think the reveal that, like, she's been pregnant for, like, a while, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like this is the phone call where she found out. Like, this was not, like, her checking a pregnancy test. It's, like, she's known for a bit. That is also, like,
she doesn't have much longer that she can hide that.
Yeah. Unless, I mean, she could get some of her season one drapey sweaters back.
Yeah, that's true. I was talking with a friend and she was like, it could be someone else's baby, but I don't think it is, because since I just recently rewatched all of the last seasons, like specifically in the last, I think the second to last episode where like her and Tom get in that fight about embryos,
mm-hmm.
like, and the night before they definitely had sex and like they made sure that you know that they had sex.
I totally agree. So. Did you listen to the latest podcast episode about it?
I did.
And I mm-hmm. feel like the way that they were talking about it on the podcast, like there was no question that it's Tom's. And I was like, okay, that's something Agreed. That's helpful about listening to the podcast, is that without spoiling things, they kind of like guide you in the right direction a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like about things that you shouldn't question. And so there's no doubt in my mind that it's Tom's. It's a Tom. It's a Wom scans.
It's a Tomlet.
How did you feel about the Carrie scene?
Okay, I think I was like so wrapped up in the fact that I was right about she being pregnant that I like, and honestly, like Be Real went off during while I was watching it. I feel like I need to rewatch it because someone at work mentioned that Carrie mentioned her the potential of like getting married,
yeah.
and I missed that.
Wow, you were like, you were drunk on your correctness.
Literally, which is so
hilarious.
So sad. So sad. But they replayed that scene in the podcast, yeah. so I got to hear it.
You were probably like, whoa, what in the
so
world?
Sad. I did think that Roman coming to her rescue and like asking for her phone number was very intriguing, and I am...
Yeah.
To see where that goes.
It's funny because when I was watching it, I was like, I just guess I'm like fully team Marsha, like in every sense. Literally in my notes, it says, I don't feel bad for Carrie. Is that bad? I'm team Marsha. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
But it's true. Like,
yeah.
she knew what she was getting into. Like, she knew that Logan was married to
yeah.
Marsha.
He hadn't divorced Marsha. He's old and he has been sick for a while. Like, maybe you should have sped try and like manipulate him to speed up the process or something, because
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like a little confused sometimes by her character in general, because like up until this season, I mean, we haven't really seen like inner workings of Carrie, but like she's kind of like a robot business bitch, you know? And then this season mm-hmm. we're seeing that she actually is like kind of a dummy. Like, her audition for being an anchor was terrible, and like her laughing on the plane, and then like her being a total mess. Like, I mean, like, I get anyone can be a mess in a horrible situation, obviously, but I'm kind of like, wow, I'm so surprised that she seems like she handled this relationship with Logan kind of messily about like the logistics, you know? And so I'm kind of mm-hmm. surprised by her, and I'm kind of like, sorry, like you lost. Adios.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't really have any remorse for her. And I'm also like, you were Logan Roy's assistant. He had to have been paying you well.
Yeah.
Like, it's on you if you weren't putting any of that in savings, girly.
I agree. I feel like a lot of the tweets, though, I was surprised that people are like, I'm so shook by this scene of Marsha sending her out. It's like, oh, what? Marsha's going to welcome her in with open arms? Are you dumb?
Mm-mm. Marsha has been about Marsha since day one.
Yes.
And
she went through a lot with Logan when Logan was like in a coma and whatnot in season one. So it's like she has paid her dues for this family.
She left Logan and Logan asked for her back. And
yeah.
She came back and was smart and said, mm-hmm. okay, I'll come back, but you have to give me this and this and this
yep.
and basically pay me a bunch of money. And you know what? That's on business.
That's what you do. That is what you do. And sorry, Carrie. You gotta go find some, update your LinkedIn.
Change that profile to now to looking for work.
It's just so funny. Like, I guess I was just like, yeah, there's your profile picture with that little swirly thing. It's like, I also saw people that were like, I'm just so moved that Roman is the only one that wanted Carrie to maintain a shred of dignity. And I was like, what? Why are you like so team Carrie? I was never team Carrie. Get out of here. I just thought that was so funny. No. I was like, do we know if Roman, like, is he trying to find something out himself? Like, we don't know if he's like only purely good right now helping Carrie. Like, yeah. I just was like, why is everyone being so sentimental about Carrie? Like, get over it. I was just shocked, kind of, because like I had a complete opposite reaction. I was like, I was almost like Greg's stupid commentary, who's like, oh, look what the cat dragged in or whatever.
Greg was too much, though. He was being such a bitch.
It was painful.
I was like, since when is Greg being this mean?
It would actually have made much more. I mean, okay, I know that Greg is like trying, I guess, to like kind of play the game and like be like trying to like look out for number one kind of thing and like save himself. But it would have made almost more sense if he was the one that was kind of like helping Carrie, because that's kind of more his usual thing.
His thing is to like play all sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He usually doesn't take like such an obvious stance on towards like how he was towards Marcia.
Yeah.
Hmm. That was weird.
Very odd.
I feel like I am a little confused at times about what they're doing with Greg's character this season, because it seems like it was very fast shift to kind of being like a douchebag, and but they still kind of want him to be like kind of lovable. And it's like, okay, I feel like maybe you should go further into have him be like suddenly like really confident at work instead of still kind of like shaky Greg. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like they kind of want both things right now from Greg, and I kind of wish they would either push him further to be like more outrightly kind of evil, or keep him kind of more nicer, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
a little weird.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, are you team underlined or crossing out?
Oh my gosh, that is just one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I like on that HBO podcast when they're talking about how, like, oh, we looked at like 10 different versions, like which one looks the most like it could go either
amazing
way.
Amazing.
I think it's a cross out. I totally think it's a cross out.
I agree. I totally agree. I was having a discussion about this at work, and they made a really great point. They're like, you don't like type something up, print it out, and then like underline it with a pen later.
No.
Like, you're crossing it out.
Totally. And then if you look at the line, it's like 10% underlined, like the K and the E, and then the rest of it is like aligned through almost the whole rest. I'm like,
but that also kind of leans the other way of like Logan started out
as like a shaky
underlining, and then he just like, yeah, his arm just went up.
Oh my gosh. But it is so funny, because it's like, Logan, what would make him feel the most like surge of energy about this, like emotion about this? It would be to cross it out, not to like what does Kendall ever do that would inspire him to underline it, to emphasize it? Like, nothing.
Yep, I'm still team Kendall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kendall knows it's a cross out. I think
we definitely, at the end of the episode, we know that it's like he finally saw the truth. He got over his false hope, and he saw the truth, and now he's gonna like,
he's just going to
take him down. Yeah, and yeah, I'm excited, but I don't really know what that means.
I'm excited and nervous, but I know I keep saying this, but I still think that the news has to come out about Kendall being in the car with that guy who died.
It'll be interesting, like, who will be the one to bring that up? Because who's going to be determined to defend Logan's honor now that he's gone? Because Logan can't do it himself. So who's it going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. What if it is, like, Roman or Shiv who know about it? And what if Shiv is so mad at Kendall for kind of stomping her out, that she somehow leaks that or something. That would suck.
Well, I'm having so many conversations, it sounds like, but most of these are with two people. But I was having a conversation with a friend, and they were saying, like, they didn't think it would get out because they wouldn't want anything to happen to, like, the company's perception, the perception of the company.
Mm.
But something I remembered from watching the last season just barely is that, remember, Comfrey comes to Kendall and is like, I can't remember who it is, but they're like asking questions about it very specifically. Like, and I think it's like another news, it's like
GQ or something like that.
Yeah. Like, they're asking about you being in the car with this person. Like, it's already out there. Mm-hmm. So, like, it just, I like your thought about the Logan's security guard.
Yeah.
Guy. Because why is he still around?
They are keeping him around. They are keeping him around.
He honestly didn't have that big of a part until this season. So.
Yeah.
And he's like threatened Kendall with that before. Mm-hmm.
And maybe like that last conversation, that scene with Logan and Colin, when Logan's like, you're my best pal. maybe that really stuck with him, you know?
Yeah. Brian Cox's favorite scene to film. That was so random and funny.
He is a true character. He's so funny. I just wish that, like, my dream team is Jerry and Carolina teaming up with the kids. Because, like, but I like right now, too, that kind of, like, when they're talking about, like, the old guard versus the kids of who's going to take mm-hmm. over. I do like mm-hmm. that both sides have people I'm rooting for, you know?
Yeah.
Frank is actually one of my favorite characters. Like, he's always hilarious. But also, I was happy that they called out that scene yet again, mentioning the HBO podcast about this episode. But like, I did really love that scene between Kendall and Frank. Like, it was so humanizing for both characters, and like,
they've always had a really special relationship.
It's really like, it's, you don't get a lot of like sweet scenes in this show, and when they do, they really hit, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
So I guess really the only people that I'm like rooting kind of against are like Tom and Carl.
100%. Carl sounded like a buffoon.
Yeah.
But Carl also sounded like a genius when he was talking to Tom.
Yes.
And honestly, like that whole scene where he was like, Tom, let me tell you how it's going to be, like what people would say.
It was amazing.
That was refreshing, because I kind of felt like I wanted to, a lot of times I want to like shake all of them, because I'm like, do you guys know that Tom is an absolute idiot? Like, why are people still letting this guy hang around?
Totally.
Like, he is dumb.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's funny because I know that in episode one, I think, when we were talking about, when we were doing our water cooler moment, we were talking about how it's like all these people think Logan wants a yes man around him. But now mm-hmm. that he's gone, it's like they're not yes men anymore, because there's no one to say yes to. So I like that there's mm-hmm. like this freedom now for all of them to be like, well, you don't outrank me. Like, I don't need to sugarcoat this to you, you dumbass. Like, it's just like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really satisfying.
Truly.
Hmm. Yeah, this was,
I could
really
say
good
a million other things, but yeah, it was another A+ episode.
Shocker. Oh, one more thing. I was really happy to see Stewie again. Just freaking love
me
Stewie.
Too. I do too. He's so hot.
My note is, Stewie is just so hot, LOL. I think it's really funny because, like, I'm like, wow, I love, the Roys are so good looking. And then you see Stewie and you're like, oh, this is what, like, a conventionally hot person looks like. I forgot.
That did just remind me, the transformation of Kendall from the beginning of the episode to the end of the episode was wild.
Iconic.
And
Iconic.
I just, like, praise the people who are in charge of that, because
oh yeah,
it's crazy.
So good. It is funny because like they end on him like with his little smug smile, and it's so mm-hmm. it's so different from like his goofy smile in season 3 when they're driving away after he has his big press conference moment, and he looks like a fool, like smiling like a clown. And this is like a calm, like very devious smug smile. And so I like love all these different Kendall faces that are like so indicative of where like his mental state. It's like so good.
It's amazing.
Ugh. Just so good. I love it. I don't want it to end, but I am excited to then like watch the entire thing through.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Maybe we'll do, we should do one of those like director's commentary episodes where we watch every episode of Succession together and record it for our Patreon.
Oh my gosh, that would be so funny.
Oh wow.
I would love that. What a dream.
Just an idea. If you'd pay for that, let us know.
I would like confirmation that someone would pay for that before we do that, because I can't imagine the shame. I mean, I would do it. I would do it just for fun, because that would be really fun. But I can't imagine the shame of like uploading it to like Patreon and having zero patrons.
I know. I could probably convince my parents to pay for it.
I'll put another in streaming $3 service myself. Wow. So funny.
All right, well, we'll see what happens on next week's episode.
Can't wait. Best hour of the week,
truly.
Best 2 hours, because it's the episode and then the reading the tweets after.
Oh my gosh, so true.
So fun.
Yeah, I was just, I love getting in the bath right after and just looking at Twitter, and my bath water is basically freezing and I'm still just laughing it up.
People are just like,
the tweets are so good.
Clever and so good.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like this episode, it might not have had as much action as others, but there was like even more to process in this. You know what I mean? Like it was all in just in the apartment. No one technically died in this episode, but like
in that $60 to $70 million apartment, which, by the way, I saw a thing today where they're like, this apartment like really exists, and here, how's much, like, did he overpay? And it's like, yeah, basically, let's see what it said. It said the last time that they like put it on the market, the final asking price was $19 million.
Oh my gosh.
So like $43 million over asking price, basically.
That adds so much, like even more comedy to that whole moment, because like, of course Connor did.
Truly.
That, I love that.
It's amazing.
But I love to see Marsha getting hers, you know?
Yeah.
So team Marsha. They should give it to Marsha's son that they put as like head of animation or whatever. Where is he?
I forgot about that. Where is he? Oh, that's so funny.
Oh man.
All right, well, there you have it. Beef, Succession episode 4. Did we talk about Succession episode 4 more than Beef? I don't know, maybe. But anyway, thank you for listening, and catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.